13, verse 24 in the ESV, he put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' And so the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Verse 36, "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' And he answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." How many of you are looking forward to the day when we are going to shine like the sun? Hallelujah. Jesus, we praise you today for the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we know that you are here. And help us right now to tune in, to focus ourselves, and to connect with you through the spirit of faith, oh God, and hear your voice today and be ministered to and encouraged and nourished up in the Word of God. In Jesus, if you want to be nourished up and encouraged in the Word of God today, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The title of my message today is "The Devil Cannot Stop What God Is Doing." The devil cannot stop what God is doing.
That's right.
Amen. You're going to think that Brother Stacy wrote this sermon for him when I start preaching it here. Or you're going to think that I shared it with him, told him what to talk about. The devil cannot stop what God is doing. The first thing that we need to understand in this parable today is that God is at work in our lives.
Right.
The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. God is at work in your life.
Amen.
God has put things in your life, spoken things into your spirit, revealed to you things in dreams and visions through preaching and through exposure. God is letting you know He's the one in charge of your life. The world belongs to Him. We belong to Him. And God has spoken things into you and planted things inside of you. And He is working in your life. Paul told the church in Philippi, chapter 2 and verse 13, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." God is working in our lives. Charlie, God is working in your life. Hallelujah. God is at work in your life. God is working in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Well, if God's working in our lives, then why are we experiencing so much trouble? Friend, God didn't call you to a picnic. He calls you to be a soldier on a battlefield.
Yes.
And sometimes we need to adjust our expectations. If we're looking for a picnic, we might want to rethink our decisions and our confessions and our commitments to Jesus. Because His ministry landed Him on a cross after being tormented and tortured, stripped down naked and accosted and made fun of and ashamed before His people, even before His own family, was He ashamed and embarrassed. Hallelujah. If we're looking for a picnic, we're in the wrong place today. God is at work in my life, but He didn't call me to a picnic. He called me to be a soldier on the battlefield. If God is working in my life, then why is there so much trouble? God didn't call us to a vacation. He called us to preach to the world. We need to adjust our expectations and get them in line with what God is doing in our lives. He didn't call us to be spectators, but He called us to run the race with patience. Yes, Jesus promised the yoke would be easy, but notice what He said, the yoke. Hallelujah. Everybody say the yoke. Yes, He said the yoke would be easy. But friend, hallelujah, you're going to have to wear the yoke. And He said the burden will be light. But you notice that He said there will be burdens that we have to bear. There will be yokes that we have to wear and pull, and there will be work to do. He did not promise that there wouldn't be sore muscles. He did not promise that there wouldn't be bruises or blisters or exhaustion and hunger from exposure. But what He did promise was that all our needs would be provided for, and that He wouldn't just be pulling for us, but that He would be pulling with us.
Amen.
Because He said, join my yoke and join me in my burden. And then you'll understand what the word easy and light means. God is at work in our lives. But in this parable, Jesus reveals a secret. And that is that the devil is always trying to thwart, to distract, to discourage, and to destroy the work of God.
Amen.
I don't like to give the devil any more credit than he is worth. And I am careful when I make a sermon title, careful when I deliver a sermon or a devotion, because I don't want to give the devil any more credit than what he is due. And you understand something as I preach this message today. Jesus brings it up, so we have to talk about it because Jesus brings it up. The devil is out to try to stop what God is doing in your life. Don't think it's strange, Peter said. The fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening in your life. The devil doesn't want you to be what God created you to be. The devil doesn't want you to become the person that God created you to be. And so he sows weeds into our lives. The devil attacks the church through carnal people in the world. Brother Stacy mentioned the situation in our political climate and the moral climate of our culture and how it is degenerating and how there is so much that has come to be normative in our culture that decades ago, that centuries ago, people would have literally been beat to death or stoned or killed for. Now is just normal and acceptable behavior. The world is in a downward spiral morally, and it is bringing quickly Hallelujah. And fast at the judgments of God. You remember in Genesis that when the thoughts of man was only evil continually, that God brought judgment on the world. And we are fast moving at an exponential pace, growing in momentum to that place where the thoughts of men and women are only evil continually. There are carnal people in the world, and the devil attacks the church through people. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13, John says, "Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you." The devil attacks the church through hypocrites, imposters, and infiltrators. Acts chapter 20, verse 29 and 30. I know after Paul said to the church that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. We are living in a day and a time where people simply say that if you believe in God, God doesn't exist, that God is a fairy tale. And they have the strangest logic and ways of reasoning amongst themselves. And somehow making it okay, the behaviors, somehow justifying themselves and the way that they believe and the way that they think, that God has turned people over to a reprobate mind, that they can do those things that are not convenient for them to do. We are living in that day and a time when people are lovers of themselves, and on the list goes. And the devil is there to try to stop what God has called the church to do in this hour. But I want to just remind you right now, the devil cannot stop what God has started. The devil cannot stop what God is doing. The devil attacks the church individually with lies and personal attacks. In the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1, it says that Satan stood against Israel and incited David to number Israel. Even the man of God, even the anointed King David, was not exempt from Satan's attacks. He was not exempt from the devil's schemes and tricks and lies. And he came to believe under the influence of Satan that it was necessary to number the people. And there were those around him, such as Joab, the general of his armies, that knew that this was a bad idea. They tried to talk him out of it. But David had his mind made up. He heard a word, but it wasn't a word from God. The devil is always trying to stop what God is doing. It would be nice to have a clean field and all the weeds weeded out of it. It would be nice to have to not have any competition with rooting down in the soil and nothing else casting shadows, but nice, beautiful grains of wheat. But that's not the way the kingdom of heaven is working. God plants things and God puts forth things into the world and intends for things to take place. And the devil is there at every hand to try to stop what God is doing. And he stood against Israel and incited David to number the people. Hallelujah. And David did exactly that. And the wrath of God came down on Israel. We've seen some tremendous moves of the Holy Ghost. You're feeling the Spirit of the Lord moving today. You're feeling your worship come back. We've seen a number of people baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Ghost. And God is trying to restore miracles and signs and wonders to the church. You thought that I was the only one preaching that, didn't you? Last year, we talked about the message and the method. or the message, the mission, the the message and the method where Jesus said, go to the lost, preach the gospel, and heal the sick. You thought that was just me preaching that. And my wife and I, we turned it over to the general conference. And you know what? The general superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church International preached at general conference after me, of course. He probably heard it on the internet off our church website. Hallelujah. He got up there, I kid you not, and he said, God is going to give the church signs, healings, miracles, and he affirmed everything that the Word of God says. He said, the church cannot get its mission done unless the power of God is in operation.
Amen.
And then I'm flipped over to Brother Cornwell's website, and Brother Robinette gets on there and starts talking about the thousands that have been healed and filled with the Spirit over in Bangladesh and other places. And I'm thinking, I have heard it all. And I'm pumped up because I know that God is going to teach me and He's going to teach you how to walk in the Holy Ghost and lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. There's going to be tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecies in this church given by you. Hallelujah. And the devil is working to stop it. Sowing seeds of doubt, sowing lies, sowing all kinds of reticence and all kinds of fears in you. But I'm here to tell you the devil cannot stop what God has started. And God has started this church on a path of revival and growth, and it is going to continue. And then just when I thought that I have seen and heard and been excited to see such amazing things. And Brother Cornwell has another preacher come. And as if Brother Robinette wasn't enough, and as if it wasn't enough to preach the Word here, as if it wasn't enough to hear these things at general conference from our superintendent. And Brother Winslow gets up there and he preaches for a whole week in that church. From Sunday through Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I haven't listened to them all, but I'm about halfway through. And all he talks about is faith and miracles and signs and wonders that God is doing in His ministry, calling people out right there alive on the internet, telling them things, and my spirit is stirred. God is doing a work in this church. The devil is doing everything that he can to stop it. So what should we do? How can we fight back against the devil's schemes? Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you, first of all, you already have everything you need to succeed and be victorious.
Amen. That's right. Yes, you do.
You've been repented of your sins and forgiven. Chains of sin broken off of you. And you've been baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you have become adopted into His family, and you've been filled with the Spirit, crying out, Abba, Father, as He came into your life. You already have everything that you need to do what God has called you to do. Sometimes I feel like, like a game I've downloaded on my phone, you know. Downloaded this game last year on my old phone, and it was a game where you fly planes, and there's different kind of planes, and if you get so many points and so many of this, then you get to unlock new planes. Well, I played enough of them games to know, how they work, and they kind of tag you along, and you get this junky little plane, and you work, and then you get the second junkiest plane, and then the third, and I was like, wait a minute, what's the best plane here? Gotta be the one at the end of the list, right? So I flipped there. What does it take to get that plane? I bought it first. And then as you play along, you make some points, and then you can upgrade your weapons, and you can upgrade your ability to fly, and you can upgrade this, and you can upgrade that. But you've already got everything that you need. You've just got to do the work. You've got to work through the trials and the tribulations. You've got to fight the battles, knock out, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of enemies, and you keep gaining more and more and more. We already have everything we need. But it's up to us to put in the work to unlock every treasure, to unlock every ministry and gift and power of the hope. What is happening right now? I'll tell you what's happening right now. We're fighting back against the devil. How do we do that? You already have everything you need. How do you defeat the devil? You don't defeat the devil. That's God's job.
Amen.
Jesus said, I came, hallelujah, so that, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. When he hung on that cross of Calvary, the devil was defeated right there.
Yes.
Right there.
You don't have to defeat somebody who's already defeated.
Yes.
So what do? You do what God called you to do. You keep doing what you have been ordained to do. Because the devil would like to do anything he can to get you to stop doing what God called you to do. Anything he can to thwart you from staying focused on what God called you to be focused on. Anything that he can to suck the life and the air out of your faith, he's going to do it. How do we defeat the devil? He's already defeated. So what are we supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be doing what God called you to do.
Amen.
He planted you as wheat in the field. And your job is to keep growing. But look at the world that we live in. For a rational human being, the world that we live in is, especially as one who is a believer in Christ, in the world that we live in, it just literally blows my mind that of the way that our country is heading, in the world that we live in. Everybody's talking about New York City or state and all of the terrible things that are going on there, but they're just added to the list. There are over a half a dozen states that have already passed similar laws. Our country is going down. And if you think that God for one second is not going to bring into account every innocent life that has been stolen from the womb, you better wake up and read your Bible. When Noah came off of the ark, God told him, if anyone sheds man's blood, then his blood shall be shed. And if it's shed by a man, that man shall be killed. If it's shed by a beast, that beast shall be killed. That's what the Bible teaches about capital punishment. And where society allows it, where society condones it, where society promotes it, God is going to judge it. And after tens of millions of aborted children, as God spoke to the prophet about Manasseh, he shed so much innocent blood that I will not forget it. And God has judgment decreed over the United States of America. I don't care how red of a Republican you are. God is going to strike this country. He's going to smite this country with wrath, fire, pain, and death. Millions of people are going to die by the wrath of God because God is going to avenge the blood of these children.
Amen.
That's Bible. That's solid Bible teaching right there. But my job isn't to sort all that out. That's God's job. My job is not to get distracted. Hallelujah. Yes, I can vote. Yes, I can protest. I can go to Washington, D.C. and be a part of the hundreds of thousands that protested in the March for Life. What an amazing show of force of Bible-believing Christians that showed up in Washington, D.C. this year. I can do that. I can do those things that are allowed to be done. But I can't walk into an abortion clinic and shoot doctors and kill people. I can't throw firebombs in there and burn those things. God will not allow. That is God's job to sort it out. Jesus said that the Son of Man planted the good seed, but the devil came and he planted weeds. And the servant said, "Shall we gather the weeds?" And the master said, "Leave them alone, because if you pull the weeds, you'll pull the wheat with it." How many of you gardeners, you know what I'm talking about? You got to be careful pulling weeds, because once they get big, they wrap their roots around the roots of what you're trying to grow. And they'll all come up and it'll be a big mess. There are some things, friend, that we can't sort out. We've got to leave it in the hands of God. And the devil will do anything to get you distracted. Why do you think he sowed the weeds? Can the weeds stop what God is doing?
No.
But the wheat can get distracted and allow itself to get to stop doing what God called it to do. There's always going to be pseudo-believers and fruitless people living without faith. People who are all show and no go. These weeds aren't here because we've done something wrong. They're here because we're doing something right. And the devil is trying to stop it. Hallelujah. Hear what I'm saying today. There are people that are backslid from the church right now, and God has called them to ministry. But they have gotten distracted on weeds. They have gotten intoxicated. This weed is ryegrass, and forgive me, Brother Darnell, but it's also known as bearded Darnell. I know, I was like, hallelujah, D-A-R-N-E-L. So anyway, if you see Brother Darnell, and it was funny is the way that you tell the difference between real wheat and the Darnell or the weeds is that when the seed matures on wheat, it turns brown. When the seed matures on Darnell, it turns black. I'm just literally, look it up. You got your phones? Go ahead. Get off of Facebook and look it up. Call it. Look up bearded Darnell. Hallelujah. It's a worthless plant. And this is what's crazy about it. You can tell somebody that the devil has sown these things and they are eating at it. And they are enjoying it. It is toxic to humans, and it is fatal to animals. It is like becoming drunk with alcohol. It affects vision, and it affects the way you walk, and you get dizzy, and it induces vomiting and other toxic effects on the mind and on the body. And it even harbors fungus, which is also toxic and fatal. We have to remember who we are in Jesus Christ. We are not weeds, we are not toxic, but we are God's chosen people. And we have the fruit that people need. And if we quit growing, then what is going to be left for the people to eat? How will they ever become spiritually healthy and whole if our spiritual fruit is withered and immature? If we stop growing and maturing in our spiritual fruit and gift, then what hope do the starving, lost people of our world have? What are we going to do? We're going to keep growing and maturing in the Holy Ghost. God called you to preach. You don't stop preaching. Because New York City passed a law. God called you to teach. You don't stop teaching because they won't let you have Bibles in school.
That's right.
Unless there are certain circumstances and situations, can be done. You don't stop worshiping and praising God because somebody around you is cussing and fussing. You don't stop praying because you're going through a trial or a tribulation. You don't stop reading your Bible because there's something you don't understand. You keep growing. You keep expanding. You keep going from one degree of glory to another until you become so full and mature. The Bible, they teach us that the head of the wheat, when it becomes mature, will hang over. But that the weeds will stay still poked up until we are fruitful and we are nourishment for the people of this world. The devil cannot stop what God is doing unless you let him.
Very good.
How many of you have some frustrating days lately? Some difficult trial. How many of you have kind of struggled with some things? You got some thoughts going through your brain like, I don't know, God called me to do that. I think I'm just going to find something else to do. I told somebody, and this is the darndest thing I've ever seen. Forget it, Brother Darn. that people will get so discouraged because somebody else isn't doing what they're supposed to do that they stop doing what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Right, just because your neighbor is beating their kids don't mean you need to start beating yours.
Right.
Just because your neighbor is beating their kids don't mean you need to stop loving on yours.
Right.
Just because your neighbor is at the VFW on Saturday night doesn't mean that you need to be at the VFW on Saturday night. Just because your neighbor's at the VFW on Saturday night, just because the brother or sister in the church has got their feelings hurt and sits home from church and is mad because somebody said something or didn't say something, doesn't mean you need to stop going to church and worshiping God. The devil's working, but so what? Who cares? God is the one that is really working, and it's His plan and His work that matters. We need to stay focused on that. We need to keep growing and maturing. We need to put them roots down deep, and we need to let the fruit grow on our vines. Until, amen, it doesn't matter. Because the devil can't stop. God is doing. God gave you a music, a ministry. God gave you a music to teach. God gave you a music to be a witness. God gave you a music to love on people, to cook, to build, to do all sorts of things. God, to minister to the sick and the infirm. You keep growing and you keep going forward. That's the only way that you can show the devil up. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. Everybody say you got to keep growing. Make every effort to supplement your faith. You got faith?
Amen.
Grow it.
Amen.
Got faith? Add something to it.
Yes.
Add virtue, Peter says. Got faith, got virtue, add knowledge, Peter says. People are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Got knowledge, add self-control. Got self-control, add steadfastness. Got steadfastness, add godliness. Got godliness, add brotherly affection. Got brotherly affection, get some love.
Amen.
For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these things is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. It's not my job to sort out the weeds. It's my job to continue to grow in faith. And believe it or not, church, God's plan does include an end game. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Paul told the church in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God doesn't leave anything unfinished. When Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary, what did he say? It is finished. He always finishes what he starts. And the devil will not stop that from happening. God has an ending. Joseph told his brothers, "You intended to do me wrong, but God turned it into deliverance for the whole family. You meant it for evil. But God already had a plan. It was God that started it. Because what did he do? He gave Joseph dreams. And what did the devil do? He sowed weeds. And his brothers hated him and sold him into slavery. But in the end, Joseph ruled over all. And they all bowed before him. But by the time that happened, the whole entire nation of Egypt had bowed before him. By the time that happened, all the nations that bordered Egypt, that were getting their food from Egypt, had bowed to him.
Yes.
God showed him that his family would bow to him. God didn't show him that if he kept growing in spite of the weeds, that the world would bow to him. And they rode. He rode in the chariot, and the criers ran before him, and they shouted, "Bow the knee." Our job is to keep growing, because God has a purpose in the trial. God has a purpose. He is working something good in your life that the weeds cannot stop. They'll be there. There's nothing you can do about them. But you can keep growing. The King David that day, he numbered the people, and God began to wreak havoc with plague across the nation of Israel. David saw 70,000 people die right before his eyes. It happened in an instant from one of Satan's schemes. David and his men were riding around the city trying to figure out what God was doing, and inadvertently they saw the angel of the Lord with his sword drawn and stretched out, about to strike the city of Jerusalem. David found the angel at the threshing floor of Ornan. How apropos for our lesson today. Where did the plague stop? It stopped at the threshing floor. "I will send out my angels, and they will separate the wheat from the weeds. And they will bundle up the weeds and burn them, but they will bring the wheat into my barn." And David, in this place where Ornan and his sons had threshed their wheat and corn for generations, became the stopping place of God's judgment over David's sin, the devil's weeds that had been sown. And David built an altar there, and God sent fire from heaven to consume David's sacrifice. At the threshing floor of Ornan, God sent fire to lick up the sacrifice. David was like, "Well, that worked pretty good. Maybe we should just keep making sacrifices here for a little minute." And they kept making sacrifices. And David said to Ornan, "Let me buy this piece of property from you." Satan started out to oppose Israel, to sow weeds, toxic weeds of destruction. But God had a plan that the devil could not stop. And this became the future site of the temple that was built by David's son, Solomon. Let's all stand together today. This became the site where God would forever place his name and forever offer his people forgiveness and a reprieve from Satan's attacks and from their failures. I almost switched sermons and just preached that, because I was so excited about it, but I felt led to just stay the course and throw it in as an afterthought. When it looked like all hope was lost and that David was a failure as a leader, furthered his plan. When it looked like that, things could not get any worse. David brought the situation to God, and God furthered his plan. And David grew at that moment as a leader. He became a greater leader. He had never before been answered by God with fire. Hallelujah. God wants to sort out the weeds in our lives. The devil has sown in your heart and in your mind. Why would he do this? Because God has put his call on you. God has already planted good seed in your heart and mind and planned your life. We cannot let the devil's tricks steal our joy and our hope and our focus from God's invitation to become a fruitful and productive, successful member of his family and his kingdom. Have you been eating the devil's lies? Have you been swallowing the devil's tricks? Have you been losing focus on what you are there to do and what you are called to be? And have you been allowing that distraction to cause you to become unfruitful and to become a little bit of a what did Joseph say in his dreams, that I saw seven ears that were blasted with the wind, ill favored? It's time for you to build an altar. It's time for you to let God sort some things out inside of you. It's time to grow to another degree of glory in God. It's hard to do, isn't it? Everything that happens and you think, what's the first thing you think? What's the first thing that comes to our minds when things get tough? I quit. I'm done. I give up. I'm throwing in the towel. I didn't sign up for this. Hallelujah. My lip is bleeding. My nose is running. And I got a black eye. I didn't sign up for this. Look at all that God said was going to happen. And it was so beautiful. And now all of a sudden all these weeds are in here. Oh God, what am I supposed to do? Number one, you don't let the devil get the upper hand. Number two, you don't worry about it because God's already told you what to do. You just keep doing it. They ought to change that from just do it to just keep doing it. So let's bow our heads together right now today. And if you feel like this message was for you, and you feel like that,